The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots and lots and lots of things to get to on today's program. Yesterday, President Trump, he gave his first statement out in front of the media since the comments that he had in the middle of the night during the election. And following his statement yesterday, a complete and total meltdown in the media. So not much of a surprise there. We also have a really interesting article written before the election about mail-in ballots, and that if they're so secure, as so many have said, coming from the radical left, then why are there so many nations, even in the West, that ban mail-in ballots? As I say, it's an interesting piece. And it actually comes from Newsweek, so that's interesting as well. We're also going to go back before the election and talk about I guess it was Axios initially and the New York Times, some of these publications that were talking about the red mirage. What would happen on election night if there's this red mirage at the start and then Joe Biden comes around and somehow wins it later, days later, maybe weeks later, following the election? That's some interesting predictions coming from the mainstream media, particularly when you look at what's happening this week. And we'll also look at President Trump, his administration, and maybe speculate a bit on some of his counterattacks. He certainly has said, as he did yesterday and as he did on election night, that there's a tremendous amount of fraud going on. And as I say, this drives the media crazy because they keep saying no evidence, no evidence, just like there's no evidence of wrongdoing on Hunter Biden's laptop. There's just no evidence anywhere. No evidence. There's no evidence of spying. No evidence. Remember Leslie Stahl? She said that to the president's face. And he said, Leslie, come on. It's everywhere. But no, in their minds, there's no evidence of spying. There's no evidence of an attempted coup. There's no evidence of media bias. There's no evidence of faulty polling ahead of the election. The president yesterday, by the way, he called that suppression of the vote. So this is why they went ballistic. We'll come to that in just a bit. First, what about the latest breaking news in Georgia? Georgia, Joe Biden, he inches in front of the president of the United States. And it's something like 99 point whatever percent of the vote is in. So just at the very last second, he nudges in front. He's ahead by almost 1,000 votes now in Georgia. And keep in mind, as we've been told, we've got to be patient, right? We have got to be patient. The longer this goes on, as the governor of Pennsylvania said yesterday, the more it proves that the system is working, you see. The system is working. Here are these few remaining states. They know the numbers. They know where Joe Biden is on the Electoral College. When it all happens on the same night, you see, it takes away a lot of the temptation to cheat, even when, like Mr. Trump said yesterday, even those who aren't inclined to cheat, when they're staring at the numbers and they know that all the other states are nearly finished, it can bring out the worst in human nature as you think, wow, if he could just get over the finish line in Georgia, I mean, this changes everything. What we're witnessing is the most extensive and elaborate election rigging in the history of the United States, in the history of American politics. look at the states Georgia's surrounded by. It's not that that means it can't happen, but like it said at the American Mind yesterday, it's hard to believe that an 8-point win in Ohio would be coupled with losses throughout the rest of the upper Midwest, or that historically deep purple Florida would go strongly for Trump, while Georgia and North Carolina would not. Very strange. Some strange things happening. And you can add Georgia to the list in Fulton County. The poll watchers, last night they were told to go home because, well, the counters were done counting. And as soon as the watchers, as soon as the ones that were there to give oversight, as soon as they were gone, well, they started counting again under the cover of darkness. Oh, yes. So you can add this to the boarded up windows in Detroit. You can add this to the miraculous, I mean the miraculous turnout numbers in Milwaukee. You can add this to the election officials in Philadelphia turning away those who were sent to monitor the process, even after a judge ruled you have to let them in. And they just said, no, can't come in. Or if you do, you've got to stay like 100 yards away. This is from the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, David Schaefer. He said at the Georgia Republican state headquarters, monitoring reports from county tabulation centers, problems with Republican and other public observers being allowed to view tabulation and canvas. And so he went on to tweet, Fulton County told our observers last night to go home because they were closing up and then continue to count ballots in secret. Today in Fulton County, they're operating a forklift between the place the ballot scanners are located and the area our observers have been instructed to stand. So they're letting them in, but they've got to stand off in the corner behind all of these obstructions. It says a few minutes ago in Chatham County, our observers watched an unidentifiable woman mix over 50 ballots into the stack of uncounted absentee ballots. He says, I have authorized lawyers for the Georgia Republican Party to file an emergency petition against Chatham County Board of Elections to enforce election laws and to prevent the unlawful counting of absentee ballots received after the election. And then he says, lawsuit filed. That's from the Georgia, the chairman of the Georgian Republican Party. It's a coup right out there in the open, right out there in plain sight. Brad McDonald wrote his trumpet brief last night. The election exposes the radical left's rolling coup. It's just ongoing. We saw the first version of it when President Trump won in 2016 and all the insurance policies and such, and then the setup and the days leading up to the inauguration. And then the attack, taking down General Flynn, the spying that went on for months, the lying to the FISA court. No evidence, though. No, if you're Leslie Stahl, that's not evidence. Come on, there's no evidence that the Obama people spied. Look at all of this evidence of wrongdoing, defying a judge's order in Philadelphia. And yet the media, as I say, they went crazy last night because the president gets up there and says, look, we've got problems here, 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 and here. And they keep crying, no evidence. If you had, it doesn't matter how much evidence turns up, and I guess that does remain an open question, but they would never accept it as true. They've proven this. This is their track record. That trumpet brief, by the way, Brad McDonald goes back to some of the things my father was writing 10, 15 years ago. America Under Attack in particular, but even back to the beginning of President Obama's presidency, 2008, 2009, then America Under Attack, and then more recently, Great Again in 2016. And it's a great trumpet brief because it just tells you this is what the trumpet has been warning about for years. And all these statements that might have seemed a little bit extreme 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago. Well, look at what's happening today. The American democracy hanging by a thread, just inches away from a banana republic. This, like I said yesterday, this is the kind of thing you see in a third world nation. Mr. McDonald says, so here we are for the first time since the Civil War. America's existence as a functioning Republican, is on the line. It's on the line. And like I say, this is what my father has been saying. It would have fallen apart years ago were it not for God intervening. Saving America temporarily by the hand of Jeroboam, as it says in 2 Kings chapter 14. Here's the president yesterday in his statement, clip 2.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly.
Steal and fraud. They do not. His opponents hate that sort of language. Oh, they hate it. They're trying to steal it. If you count the legal votes, then I easily win. And that's what was happening. George Stephanopoulos, remember, on election night, this seems like a replay of 2016. He was rolling along, President Trump was, and then all of a sudden everything stopped. They just stopped. Do you think everything would have stopped if Obama was rolling along in 2008 or 2012? And then all of a sudden these states just said, you know what, we got to stop counting. I know President Obama's on quite a roll here, but we just got to stop counting. What if Joe Biden was on the roll that they all said he would be on, the blue wave? What if he was on the roll the other night, winning in Florida, dominating in Georgia, dominating in Ohio, leading in Pennsylvania by 700,000 votes? Do you think the media would have stood for a complete and total stop in the counting? They just stopped. And then President Trump comes out and says, this is fraudulent, and I don't want ballots to show up at 4 a.m. And guess what happened? Ballots started showing up all over the place at 4 a.m. Americans woke up, and lo and behold, why, Joe Biden's just a little, he's just a few thousand behind now. And now they've had a few extra days. And Georgia, it's like a comedy that we're watching at a movie theater. And yet the media, boy, they're taking it very, very serious. Well, obviously President Trump's team is as well. But it's the cheating, the level of it, as I said yesterday, it's laughable. This is President Trump again from his statement last night, clip 3.
Democrat officials never believed they could win this election, honestly. I really believe that. That's why they did the mail-in ballots, where there's tremendous corruption and fraud going on.
And like I said, Newsweek, in this article back in August, they said that's why so many nations ban it, because, I mean, this is just something that happens around the world. And the media, they're beside themselves saying, no, it cannot happen. There cannot be corruption. There's no foul play here. It happens all the time when nations do allow for this sort of thing. And the president, to his credit, he was warning about it and warning about it and warning about it. Here they are under the cover of darkness. No observers, no moderators, nothing. No one there to monitor the process. And he comes out and gives this speech and basically says, look, we're going to fight it. We're going to take it all the way up to the Supreme Court. This is an embarrassment. This is a fraud. And right across the board, every single network, they let him talk for a bit, but then they had to interrupt him. They had to cut him off. They had to come back in and tell everybody, you don't need to hear this from the president anymore because he is lying to you. Look at this montage. This is just the media reaction to the President of the United States speaking before the American people. Clip one.
It's not a question of who wins, Republican, Democrat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lindsay Davis. Thanks so much for streaming with us. We've been listening to President Trump addressing the nation for the first time since the wee hours Wednesday morning. He's been making a lot of, frankly, false accusations, baseless claims, and that's not being partisan. That's just stating the fact.
In Georgia, I won by a lot.
And there, the President of the United States addressing the American people for the first time, claiming that if you count the legal votes, I easily win. Nancy Cordes is with us. There were a couple of statements that the President made.
Iowa, Indiana, Ohio.
Okay, here we are again in the unusual position of not only interrupting the President of the United States, but correcting the President of
the Democrats. But in all cases, they're so one-sided.
We're watching President Trump speaking live from the White House, and we have to interrupt here because the president has made a number of false statements.
Now, tens of millions of unsolicited ballots without any verification measures whatsoever.
Well, we're interrupting this because what the President of the United States is saying, in large part, is absolutely untrue. He began, and we're not going to allow it to keep going because it's not true.
Yeah, we're just not going to allow it to keep going, says Shepard Smith, the same man who says to Fauci, why can't we have a lockdown for 111 days? It's like they all texted each other and said, hey, we gotta break in. We got to break in and silence the President of the United States. Twitter's been censoring all kinds of tweets, video. You can't even see it. They're not going to let you see it. There, as far as they're concerned, there is no evidence. Here we're just a day or two into this mess of a post-election counting, and they're convinced. They're absolutely convinced, and they're right. They know. You hear the tone. You see them. Just overcome with self-righteous, sanctimonious vanity. The New York Times tweeted out on Tuesday, the role of declaring the winner of a presidential election in the U.S. falls to the news media. We're the ones who decide. Now, they had to later take that tweet down because they just got blasted for it. But that's the way they think. Look, when we announce it, the president sure better not take credit for this or say that he won. That's our responsibility. That's what he's going up against. No proof, they say. Well, we've got to have evidence. Okay, well then let the president speak. Let him give you his side of the story. They can't even do that. I'm sorry, we're going to have to break, and we're just not going to show it. Too many lies. These are the same people that peddled the Russia collusion lie for years. It was nonstop, over and over and over and over. It's worse than fake news, as the president has said recently. It's corrupt through and through. They're in on it. It's another coup attempt. And they're the main players, just like they were in 2017. I think we'll see that even when we go through this New York Times article a little bit later. Listen to Anderson Cooper's reaction to the president's speech last night, clip four.
That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over.
And that is Anderson Cooper, the distinguished commentator on CNN. This is what it comes down to. You had Stephen Colbert. He's a comedian, or he used to be. I don't know what he is now, but he's crying, basically. I knew. He says, so we all knew the president would do this. We just didn't know it would hurt so much. He was hurt by the 16-minute speech of a president saying, there's foul play here, and we're going to fight it. This is devastating. Or I guess it's laughable to Anderson Cooper, to Stephen Colbert. It's devastating. Crying on the air. Really. Going back to election night. Again, this is when the president first brought it up, and they reacted the same way then in the middle of the night. This was after, like he said, it was rolling along and then everything just stopped. They're cheating. They're cheating, he said, and his instincts, as shocking as that statement might have been to some for many in the middle of the night, on election night, his instincts were right. Here's clip five.
So we won by 107,000 votes with 81% of the vote. That's Michigan. So when you take those three states in particular, and you take all of the others, I mean, we have so many. We had such a big night. You just take a look at all of these states that we've won tonight, and then you take a look at the kind of margins that we've won them by, and all of a sudden, it's not like we're up 12 votes and we have 60% left. We won states, and all of a sudden, I said, what happened to the election? It's off. And we have all these announcers saying, what happened? And then they said, oh, because you know what happened? They knew they couldn't win, so they said, let's go to court. And did I predict this, Newt? Did I say this? I've been saying this from the day I heard they were going to send out tens of millions of ballots. I said exactly, because either they were going to win, or if they didn't win, they'll take us to court.
Added to that, of course, go after all of these ballots, harvest a lot of ballots, find all these bags and bags of ballots. Just think about it again. They're saying, you know, people have said, well, we've always had some election controversies here and there, but just stopping the count in the middle of the night and then discovering all these bagfuls of ballots. Even the decision by the judge to allow these Republican election officials to at least come in and monitor it, and then they're turned away, and then the Democrats are in the process of appealing that judge's ruling. Why would they want to appeal the ruling to let... Look, the law says they can monitor it, so let them in. They're appealing it. In other words, they don't want them in. Why wouldn't they want them in? I mean, this is the Biden comeback of, well, it's a miracle. If he came back the way that they say that he did in Georgia or wherever else, why not invite everyone in to witness the miracle? Because they're cheating, that's why. Here's another statement from the election night comments that the president made, clip six.
We lead by 76,000 votes with almost nothing left. And all of a sudden, everything just stopped. This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. For the good of this nation, this is a very big moment. This is a major fraud in our nation. We want the law to be used in a proper manner. So we'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We want all voting to stop. We don't want them to find any ballots at 4 o'clock in the morning and add them to the list.
And then that last comment he made there, that's exactly what happened. That's, to me, that's astounding too. I think he gave that speech at something like 1:45. And then America goes to sleep. And then they started finding ballots in Milwaukee and Detroit around about 4 a.m. This is from Michael Anton from The American Mind. It says, strictly speaking, a coup is an illegitimate change of government by violent means. But what if you can do it without violence? Well, and we should add there's been a lot of violence this past summer. That's been part of the strategy, that the lockdowns. Well, we've got to have the ballots. It's been an all-out attack. But what if you can do it without violence? It says, to win without fighting is best, Sun Tzu says. And an ostensibly mostly peaceful ouster from power is preferable to the use of force because it can much more easily be sold as our democracy at work. That's like Governor Wolf yesterday. Look, the longer this plays out, the more it shows that the system's working. Look, democracy's working. Every vote is being counted. It says, and then suddenly the counting stopped in at least five states or parts of states, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, all but one with a Democratic governor. It says, according to Nate Silver, no one's idea of a Trumpist, one tranche of 23,277 votes that turned up in Philadelphia were all for Biden. This was Nate Silver reporting it. Absent some kind of harvesting or fraud or both, that's a logical and statistical impossibility. This is impossible. And this is not like two votes that got erased or there was a hanging chad to go back to 2000. This is 23,277. According to Nate Silver, he's the famous pollster who always gets it wrong. So he comes out, he's not a Trump supporter by any means. He's reporting this. No evidence. Well, there's no evidence. We've got to break in to let you know that everything the president's saying is not true, and we're just not going to play it. We're just not going to play it. It says, through the night, all such ballots came from heavily Democratic areas posting unusually improbably high turnout. 85% in Milwaukee? A city that turned out at only 61% in 2016? Really? And even with Obama on the ballot in 2012, it was 71%. But 85% for Sleepy Joe? It says, according to one report, seven Milwaukee precincts returned more presidential votes than they have registered voters. That's seven precincts. Turnout in Wisconsin is alleged to have been 89.25%, more than five standard deviations for the state's mean turnout since 1960. Another statistical impossibility. One might also wonder, we made this point yesterday, but one might also wonder why this urban blue wave materialized only in close states. Milwaukee was way up, but not Cleveland. Philly, but not St. Louis. Granted, Ohio and Missouri are red, but their big cities aren't. It says, finally, we've seen this movie before. This is how they beat Scott Walker in Wisconsin in 2018, Tom Foley in Connecticut in 2010, and Norm Coleman in Minnesota in 2008. You see, we've seen all of this before. They've prepared for this. And now, a lot of people in America probably did just kind of sigh and say, oh, well, what can you do? But now it's happened on a national level and everyone sees it. 70 million people voted for Donald Trump. Now everyone sees it. It's in plain view what's happening in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in Detroit. The president, in his statement last night, he drew attention to some of these districts, clip 7.
Detroit and Philadelphia, known as two of the most corrupt political places anywhere in our country, easily cannot be responsible for engineering the outcome of a presidential race.
These two cities, these two Democrat bastions, they're not going to engineer the presidential race, said the president last night. Newt Gingrich on Fox News, he made a similar point about the corruption there, clip 8.
My hope is that President Trump will lead the millions of Americans who understand exactly what's going on. The Philadelphia machine is corrupt. The Atlanta machine is corrupt. The machine in Detroit is corrupt. and they're trying to steal the presidency, and we should not allow them to do that.
That's Newt Gingrich last night on Fox News. I want to turn your attention now to this red mirage, these stories that were coming out about 2 months before the election. This one here comes from the New York Times, September 2nd. And listen to this. This is remarkable. It says, as returns come in on election night in Florida, or as they came in, so it's going back to 2 years ago, as returns came in on election night in Florida in 2018, the Republicans running for governor and the Senate took narrow leads in races that were too close to call. Over the next days, their Democratic opponents began closing the gaps as mailed-in votes were counted. President Trump raised an alarm, demanding that the races be called for the Republicans, Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis. He tweeted falsely that the large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere. So he's just wrong. There's no evidence of wrongdoing. Keep in mind, if President Trump says it, there's never, never, never any evidence. It says here, nothing was fraudulent about the ballots tallied in the days after Election Day, so says the New York Times. It says, yet Mr. Trump has never let go of a baseless accusation that Democrats use mail voting to steal elections, a piece of disinformation he has promoted all year, including at the Republican National Convention. So here's the New York Times, 2 months ahead of the election, saying, look, the president always, he always has these baseless accusations that there's voter fraud with respect to the mail-in ballots. This is the New York Times, along with they're the leader of the radical left in many ways. They're, in a lot of ways, they're establishing the script for the evening news every single day. But there they are trying to get out in front to establish the narrative. They were all prepared for this. They all knew this would be the strategy. And we saw the red wave emerging in the early part of the election night, even though the networks refused to call Florida and Ohio and then jumped the gun on Arizona in the case of Fox News and the AP. The red wave was there, and it was turning into a tidal wave, and that's when they shut it down. And they shut it all down. The Times back in September said, now with the coronavirus pandemic driving an explosion in absentee voting, the polls suggesting that far more Democrats than Republicans plan to vote by mail, a nightmare scenario haunts Democratic strategists and elected officials. What if, listen to this, what if early results in swing states on election night show the president in the lead because most Republicans voted in person, yet in the days afterward, as mail ballots that tilt heavily Democratic are tallied, states flip to Joseph R. Biden Jr. They're telegraphing the strategy and the outcome. Look, there's going to be votes that pour in afterwards, and they're all going to be for Biden. In the case of that precinct in Philadelphia, I mean, a bag full of 23,000 where every single one of them were. Statistically impossible. And yet that's what keeps turning up. It always goes in one direction, doesn't it? The coverage on election night, the call with respect to Arizona, and certainly not with respect to any states that President Trump would have won. Wait and wait. And even to this day, I think the electoral count for him is down at the low 200s. So they did everything, anything and everything they could to make sure it looked like he did not have a commanding lead or that he wasn't about to win this. And then when it just got to be overwhelming, the support for the president, they shut it down. Pretty amazing to read this, isn't it, in the New York Times? You think about all of those leaks and things going back to 2016 and 17. I was telling Sam this morning. He's the one, by the way, that found this article and went through it. But they were telling their readers what they were doing and what the president was doing and why they needed to expand the you remember in, I think it was January, right before the inauguration, they're passing information all over the intel community, making sure that they could continue with their spying and their attack on the president or the incoming president. This is back in 2017. And there'd be little bits and pieces of information in the New York Times or the Washington Post or wherever else. And then it was commentators like Mark Levin back in March of 2017 that started to piece it all together and say, look, this is a coup. This is a silent coup. They're trying to take over. They're trying to destroy this man before his administration or his presidency even gets started. You read through this scenario as it was explained back in September 2nd, 2 months before the election, even down to the cities that are discussed. Listen to this. The nightmare scenario in November is worth preparing for. We've got to prepare for this, Democrats. We've got to prepare for this, radical left. The nightmare scenario in November is worth preparing for, many Democrats say. Miss Benson and other Democrats in Michigan and Pennsylvania, both key battlegrounds, are trying to change election laws that prohibit absentee ballots from being processed or counted before Election Day. As of now, mail-in votes from large Democratic cities like Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit are not reported until after in-person votes, sometimes days later. So look, we're trying to get it to where we can count everything ahead of time, but it just may not work. Sometimes they come in days later. Where? Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit. And those cities, they have the advantage days later of knowing how all the other counties, in the states have counted them. So they have the larger advantage of knowing what's happened in the rest of the country. So if there's just one person who's corrupt, what an opportunity. If you're sitting there in a major city that has tens of thousands of votes and knowing that you can swing not just the election in Pennsylvania, but for the entire nation. This is why countries ban it. This is because there's just so many opportunities for foul play. They mentioned Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Detroit. It says further on, a Democratic data group backed by Michael Bloomberg said this week that it was likely that Mr. Trump would appear to have won on election night by a landslide, a scenario it called a red mirage. I'm still trying to figure out how the blue wave factors into this, what all the pollsters were saying. President Trump yesterday said that, you know, this was voter suppression, and perhaps that was, you know, that was part of the strategy too. But in fact, as the president has said more recently, they knew they weren't going to win this election. They knew. They knew they were going to lose if they didn't cheat. And so when they were about to lose, they stopped everything. And then the plan kicked in. It says here, elections experts say that absentee or mail voting is potentially more subject to instances of fraud than in-person voting. So even the Times admitted that back then. But the states with a history of all-mail voting have a minuscule number of cases. So there are some instances of fraud, but you know, really it's not that serious. Don't worry, nothing to worry about here. It says, even before Mr. Trump injected new partisanship into mail voting, election analysts identified a blue shift in how late-counted absentee ballots tend to boost Democratic candidates. While TV viewers are used to election night projections of who has won, some broadcast and digital journalists are discussing ways to clearly inform viewers or voters that results may be incomplete. See, this is 2 months before the election. And they're saying, we've got to prepare for this. And the networks, they've got to prepare to tell viewers that it's not going to be complete. Just like we heard yesterday, be patient. Be patient, and we'll get enough votes. If every vote's counted, then Joe Biden's going to win. Well, the other side now is going to have to say, all right, let's be patient and let this roll through the courts. because that appears to be where it's headed next. It says, finally, mail ballots whose use soared in primaries this year because of the pandemic have been subject to high rejection rates because of human errors, omitted signatures, missed deadlines, and missed missing postmarks. That's all the more reason why you would need some oversight, because there's even just errors, even just to avoid errors. And yet those that are there to oversee are being shut out in Fulton County and in Philadelphia. That's just from this morning and yesterday's reports. No evidence. This is the Newsweek piece from August 4th. So this goes back to four months before the election. It's by John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And he says voting fraud is a real concern. Just look around the world. In other words, it happens all over the place. It is a concern. It's a valid concern for the president to have, he said, months before the election. He writes, besides the United States, there are 36 member states in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. 47% ban mail-in voting unless the citizen is living abroad, and 30% require a photo ID to obtain a mail-in ballot. 14% of the countries ban mail-in voting even for those living abroad. There's 14% of the countries that say you can't even vote if you're living outside the nation, outside the country. I mean, the U.S. even has that with absentee voting for the military and other people that live abroad. But it says here, in addition, some countries that allow voting by mail for some citizens living in the country don't allow it for everyone. For example, Japan and Poland have limited mail-in voting for those who have special certificates verifying that they're disabled and so on. Goes on to talk about other European countries. And listen to this about Europe. Europe, there's plenty of commentators in Europe right now saying that, oh, Donald Trump is attacking democracy. And we're going to get to that, by the way. The world reaction to what's happening in the U.S. The U.S. becoming a spectacle in front of the whole world. And you listen to Piers Morgan over here, or even on election night, Andrew Neil, he's fairly conservative. His head exploded when he heard the president give his comments that night. You can hardly even turn it on, because you know they're all going to say the same thing. It's what they're hearing from CNN. They're just interrupting the president. The president can't even speak. People can't even tweet about what's happening at these polling stations. It says here, the point what I was going to make is, let me just read it. It says, among the 27 countries in the European Union, 63% ban mail-in voting unless living abroad, and another 22% require a photo ID to obtain a mail-in ballot. So here are all these pious critics in Europe denouncing Donald Trump for calling into question the fairness of this election. And they themselves, you know why they have a lot of these restrictions in place in their nations? Because they've seen so much fraud when it was allowed before. It says, are all of these countries, socialist and non-socialist alike, Western and Eastern European, developed and underdeveloped, acting without evidence? Well, why would they ban it? Is the point that he made back in August, this John Lott. It says, finally, these countries have learned the hard way what happens when mail-in ballots aren't secured. They've all been burned by it. They've all seen a lot of fraud and a lot of foul play. And again, these are Western nations. And here's the United States. As I say, as Mr. McDonald said in his trumpet brief, just the republic is hanging by a thread. It gives an example in this Newsweek piece about right here in the UK. It says the UK, which allows postal voting, has had some notable mail-in ballot fraud cases prior to recent photo ID requirements. Six Labour Party councillors in Birmingham won office after what the judge described as a massive, systematic, and organized postal voting fraud campaign. The fraud was apparently carried out with the full knowledge and cooperation of the local Labour Party. That's here in the UK. It happens. People do steal and cheat. They do commit theft when it comes to elections. It says there was widespread theft of postal votes, possibly around 40,000 ballots. Listen to the conclusion. It says, if concern about voter fraud with mail-in ballots is delusional, it is delusional. It is a delusion that is shared by most of the world. Did you hear this? If concern about voter fraud with mail-in ballots is delusional, it's a delusion that is shared by most of the world. Without basic precautions, our elections are on course to become the laughingstock of the developed world. This was a Newsweek piece in August. I gave you the New York Times article from September. And you can see why this is why the Democrats wanted this. This is why they worked so hard to change the rules in Nevada, in North Carolina, in Pennsylvania, just before the election. This is why they wanted to extend the lockdown. It was all part of the plan. It was all part of the attack. It was all designed to bring down the president of the United States. They knew that the only way to bring this on, the only way to defeat him, was by cheating. And the question is, what will the Trump administration and the Republican Party, what will they do to fight back, or will they? Well, I certainly think the president is and will, but there's quite a few Republicans, as I said yesterday, that have already, they've already come out really ready to surrender. This is from that Andy McCarthy piece that I read from yesterday. He says the political right, particularly its Republican Party representatives, is intimidated by the Democrats' media megaphone. Conservatives fear being seen as opposed to the nostrum that every vote counts. That is, the hostile media filter has convinced them that though it is perfectly obvious that every vote should not count, they cannot make that case unscathed. Every vote counts is yet another semantic battle the left has won before the right even realized it was on. And winning the semantic battle usually means winning the policy battle. His title, as you can see there, is No, Every Vote Does Not Count. Okay, we have to look at the law. We have to look at the election law. We have to look at deadlines. We have to see if people follow instructions. And then we certainly have to eliminate those ballots that are fraudulent, that are fake. This was Newt Gingrich, again, from his interview last night on Fox News, clip 9.
I think I've been active in this since 1958. That's 62 years. I am the angriest I have been in that entire six decades. You have a group of corrupt people who have absolute contempt for the American people, who believe that we are so spineless, so cowardly, so unwilling to stand up for ourselves, that they can steal the presidency and we'll wring our hands, bring in a few lawyers, and do nothing.
You have to fight back, in other words. That's what Mr. Gingrich is saying there. There's this piece in PJ Media today. It says the Nevada Republican Party claims to have discovered 3,000 instances of voter fraud, and the party sent a criminal referral to Attorney General William Barr, a Department of Justice official told the Washington Examiner. It says they're looking into this matter. It says the Harry Reid machine recklessly threw ballots into the mail, and now we cannot check whether or not there are non-residents, which we have evidence, publicly available evidence, according to Rick Grinnell. He was in Las Vegas yesterday for a press conference. It is publicly available information that non-residents have voted. So people who are not residents of Nevada have voted in Nevada. Ballots just floating around all over the place. Here again is Newt Gingrich from last night, clip 10.
First of all, under federal law, we should lock up the people who are breaking the law. You stop somebody from being an observer, you just broke federal law. You hide and put up paper so nobody can see what you're doing, you just broke federal law. You bring in ballots that aren't real, you just broke federal law. I am sick and tired of corrupt left-wing Democrats who believe that we are too timid and too easy to intimidate, and therefore, let us go out and steal it. That's exactly, I mean, no one should have any doubt. You are watching an effort to steal the presidency of the United States.
That's Newt Gingrich from last night. And so maybe that item from PJ Media is an indication that the DOJ is moving on some of this. I think it has been relatively quiet, surprisingly quiet. The DOJ, Bill Barr, and what is actually happening there, particularly when you go back and see what he was saying about voter fraud before the election. Here again, I'm taking you back before November 3rd. This is the Attorney General on Wolf Blitzer's show. This was several weeks before the November election. We played it. I think we played this back in September, actually. So September, around the time of that New York Times article. So here's clip 12.
Now what we're talking about is mailing them to everyone on the voter list when everyone knows those voter lists are inaccurate. People who should get them don't get them, which is what has been one of the major complaints in states that have tried this in municipal elections. And people who get them are not the right people. They're people who have replaced the previous occupant, and they can make them out. And sometimes multiple ballots come to the same address with a whole several generations of occupants. Do you think that's a way to run a vote?
You can see there that he's pretty hot under the collar with Wolf Blitzer, who's, of course, of the opinion that just throw all the ballots out there and whatever comes in, fraudulent or not, just count them all up. Let's see who wins. You think that's the way to run a vote? He went on to say this, the AG, clip 13.
Wolf, this is playing with fire. This is playing with fire. We're a very closely divided country here. And if people have to have confidence in the results of the election and the legitimacy of the government, and people trying to change the rules to this methodology, which, as a matter of logic, is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless and dangerous. And the people are playing with fire.
Playing with fire, and now we see it's a full-on explosion that's happened politically. That Newt Gingrich, by the way, he talked about this being the greatest crisis for America. He compared it to Washington in the depths of the Revolution, and then Lincoln and the Gettysburg conflict, which turned the Civil War in the favor of the North. And then now this, it's on that level. So what will happen? Coming from the Justice Department, let me just give you a quote. I thought this was interesting. Brad McDonald saw this morning. Again, this is from before the election. And just going back to some of these pieces, and even what happened, like I said yesterday, the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Amy Coney Barrett going through. This is from the Washington Post, October 10th. It says, as both parties brace for the possibility of another contested election that Trump has suggested could go to the high court, the previously unreported role of his Supreme Court nominee in the absentee ballot fight is more than a historical footnote. This is basically, it points out how that Amy Coney Barrett was brought in to defend President Bush back during the 2000 election controversy, the fight that went all the way to the Supreme Court then. It says here, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh also played a role in the Bush versus Gore, meaning that if Barrett is confirmed, three of the nine justices will have participated in litigation related to the only presidential contest to be decided by the high court. Three of them having some experience with this kind of fight, a political fight that works its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. Well, in conclusion here, I'll just refer you back to that trumpet brief that Brad McDonald sent out last night. It's an excellent piece that really pulls together. It's a lot of research that actually will make a good segment for this show at a later time. But I'll just summarize what he said there early on in the piece, how that he spent the better part of yesterday just reviewing through so many of my father's writings, going back to the early days of the Barack Obama presidency and the rise of the radical left and what that was doing to the United States, how the Constitution was being undermined. He writes, "The more I read, the more I understand just how intimately involved God is in what is unfolding in America right now." See, we can take great comfort in this. We don't have to panic because we're on one side or the other. We can rise right above the fray and understand and know. Like I read to you the other day, Daniel 2, Daniel 4. It's God. It's God who intervenes in the affairs of men when necessary, where necessary. Mr. McDonald writes, "This moment was forecast in Bible prophecy." He talks at length about this attack from the radical left to bring down the system. He says, "This was forecast in the Bible. God knew this was going to happen. This coup is only going to further his plan and benefit his work." He says, "For nearly two decades now, God has been telling us to expect this." You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.